B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Hey, y'all. Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show.
Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missinelli Show, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio. And a lot of good things to talk about today. A couple of big wins last night from Philadelphia teams. The Sixers, after slugging their way through three quarters, had what it took in the end to win that game. And kind of a must-win. If they had lost to the Nets at home, that would have been a new low. So they pulled out last night. And so we focus on the good. I'm trying not to bring up Ben Simmons today. I don't want to bring up Ben. I'm wrung out talking about Ben Simmons. I'm exhausted. So I don't have anything more to say other than great first half, took over. For some reason, he decides to not attack in the second half. And this time it was okay because Tobias Harris stepped up and made a lot of shots. So the Ben thing is on my back burner today. I realize that I'm losing years off my life when I talk about Ben Simmons and get obsessed with Ben Simmons, and I'm trying to preserve my life because I don't know how many years I have left. So why would I waste it on Ben Simmons? All right, so they win last night, a nice win. They did what they had to do. Tobias Harris has to step up. We've been talking about guys that have to step up in Joel Embiid's absence to get points, to deliver clutch points. And he did that last night. And he was aggressive. And the mindset has to be that all the time. It's the only thing that frustrates me about the Sixers is that the guys that are programmed to be their key players have to have the mindset of stepping up every game. And they just have to. This guy's one of the highest paid players in the league right now. And he has to play like that almost every night. Al Horford, well, he still looks a little lost. He did make a couple decent defensive plays towards the end of that game. They got shots at a Korkmaz. I know people went, why wouldn't you go talk about Korkmaz? Well, there you go. Korky with a couple three balls last night. And people on Twitter go, I really think that he's their only viable three-point threat and they have to keep going to him. All right, if you feel that, that's good. I'm still of the mindset that they're not complete enough to actually win this East, but we will talk about that. Now, the Flyers, man, they go into St. Louis against a really good team and go head-to-head with them and get a tremendous goal from Jakey to win that game last night. That's an impressive win. That's a couple of impressive wins there in the last week against the Capitals, against the Blues. Two top-notch teams, which shows you the Flyers have some fight in them. So, we'll talk about that today. And a lot of other issues that we got. We have another snitch issue we need to talk about. I've got this list of salaries of national broadcasters.
Really?
Yes. And I want to see if you're in the ballpark with it. Like, if I throw a name out there, you go, all right, how much do you think he's making?
I just read about this.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, I saw it. I was just reading about it.
This will be perfect. This is evergreen for you then.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
So you can like just take your shot at that. That'll be a fun topic. But last night we were privileged enough to host the suite for a few listeners. We had Mike from Del Ran was there. We had Justin. We had, who's the guy from South Philly we're talking to? You remember his name, that? Was it Jack?
He
was
Jack.
Jack got in under the wire last night.
Yeah.
Bilal.
Yeah.
Was in the booth last
Everybody
night.
Everybody was awesome.
Blah, Brett Brown hater.
He
was hating Brett Brown last night. So that was fun to be in the suite with some listeners, and we had some fun there last night. So as we're watching this game, it was like, you know, no, they can't get beat by this team. And the Nets were up. They're up. They even had their three quarters. They were still up. And the Sixers, I was telling people, they're going to win the game. Don't worry about it. They'll have enough in the fourth quarter to wear this team out. It helps that Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving is interesting to me. He plays when he wants to, right? And he's gone. And after the game, he goes, well, we need a lot more on this team. Right? So he buries his teammates when he himself went through the motions the whole game. It's a classic example of a guy going, I just want to get through this year so I can play with KD. You know, you can just tell it's on his face. Like, he had no desire to play for the first part of that game.
Not at all.
1 point on the board.
Not at all. Then the fourth quarter, he decided, all right, guys, yeah, I'll take us home. Yeah. And then he fails and then throws all of them under the bus.
He says,
what
about, we need more. We need more on this team. And they do, let's face it. But, you know, they played pretty hard last night. And the Sixers just can't stop Dinwiddie, no matter what to win, where he comes off the bench, where he starts, whatever. So what would you think of the Sixers' effort last night, Tyron?
You know, early, all right, look, I'll just go with the positive because I want to follow your lead, Mike. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tobias Harris has, I'm talking about his ability, not his production. Mm-hmm. His ability, he can make threes, he can make mid-range shots, he can dribble drive, he can score around the basket. There's no reason why we can't see games like last night more often. Now, I know he's not going to shoot 14 for 20 all the time, but the 20-shot thing to me is key. With Embiid out, that needs to be the norm. Whether it's the coach, whether it's him, whether it's the point guard, they have to know going into a game, all right, I got to make sure this guy gets a bunch of shots. And then everybody else falls in line because he's your best scorer. And I think one of the flaws with the Sixers, Brett Brown, I get the ball movement thing, but if you look at a box score, you'll see this guy got 13 shots, this guy got 14, this guy got 12. Very democratic. Everybody shares. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that toy point. But with Embiid out, especially, Tobias needs to be 20-plus, and then everyone else line up behind him as far as attempts go. And last night you saw how it can work. And then you don't need Ben as much late because Tobias can score the ball. But he has to have that mentality every night, like you mentioned at the very top. That's something that is encouraging to me. Now, let's see if Friday it happens and Saturday it happens and then Monday. Like, it has to keep happening. But that was encouraging. So I'm going to go with the positive that Tobias finally showed why Elton Brand saw, okay, maybe I can give this guy a lot of
money. Yeah, very versatile player. He can score in a variety of ways. He's the only guy on the team that really can score off the bounce.
Right.
He's the only guy on the team. Which therein lies my evaluation of the Sixers, because here's what they have. They have one guy that can score off the bounce that doesn't always do it. That's Tobias. They have one guy that can get to the rim. That's Ben. They have Josh Richardson, who can score in a variety of ways, but not in one defined way. They have Al Horford, who can't score at all. And they don't have a reliable three-point shooter. So I look at the team and I go, it was a good win last night. They did some good things. To me, they're not well-rounded enough to win the East. That's all I'm saying.
You're right, as is. And what has to change is either Embiid comes back and something's different, but I don't even know if that's enough. It still, unfortunately, goes back to the person who will be unmentionable today. He has to do something different. And if he does, anything he does differently is something this team currently doesn't have. At 6'10", anything he does in addition to what he does right now would give this team a huge boost.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, I can't assume, and no one should assume, that extra's coming. But that would be outside of a trade. That's the only thing that can happen.
Here's the thing. The Sixers, I'm watching the game last night, and this is not just in one game. It's what my conclusion has been over the last several games. They're not a team with pizzazz. They're not. You look at them and you go, they don't have any sizzle to them. I mean, they're a nice team. They're a good team. They're lacking sizzle, don't you think?
I don't. Yes.
Unless Ben is playing like he did in the first half, it's not a sizzle team.
There's been, there's sizzle when Ben and Joel both have it going.
Mm-hmm.
When they both have it going, it's a lot of sizzle. But I can see what you're saying, that the offense especially is stagnant, and defense isn't sexy. It's just not.
But I'm okay with the way they play defense.
They play good
offensively
defense.
They don't have sizzle. Like, it's not a move the ball, get the open shot, bury it. They don't have that ability.
They don't have enough of that.
They had the ability of Ben Simmons in transition being all world, which not many other people have. But what they do there, they lack in so many other areas.
Yes, but I think some of that does fall on the coach. We see too many guys who can't shoot shooting. And it's now time for no more debt. It needs to be a dictatorship. Embiid, one. Tobias, two. Everyone else, I don't care what shots you get.
Oh, you don't want three-pointers?
They can be three-pointers at times, but these are the kind of three-pointers I want. I want a pick-and-roll with Ben and Tobias, Joel and Tobias, that kind of thing. And then guys, double teams, passing open-look type of shots that they can get at times. Those are the type of three-pointers I want. What I don't want is everybody's going to get a touch and we do this simple kick-out. No, no, no. I want more of the best players having the ball, and the other guys, you might be standing around, but your lesser players, shut up, and when you get the ball, make it. That's what I want their offense to
do. I think Brett is programmed that in this league you have to have three-pointers to win. So he doesn't take inventory that he doesn't have three-point shooters. His rationale is if we continue to take them, they'll eventually make them.
I mean, that happened last night, eventually.
It did. But it's not a reliability thing for the coach to rely that they're going to make threes, because they're just not a good three-point shooting team. So then how do you play? You try to beat people with twos, which is riskier. I don't know. We'll see how this whole thing develops. But I'm not going to criticize Ben today.
And
no Ben today.
I am very excited about the Flyers. Mm-hmm. I know I've been high on them all year about them being a playoff team and stuff. Mm-hmm. Them weathering this storm and now they're coming home for three straight, I feel really good about the Flyers. I've been flyered up all year and they're showing me something. I've been flyered up. You know I've been flyered up. I've been flyered up.
Yeah, you have.
I've been flyered up and I'm still flyered up. And I know people say that we hate the Flyers on this show. That is not true. And I hope that Flyer fans take advantage of the invitation. I see some are already on hold.
Yes, they are.
Take advantage of the invitation. We can all be together. And please, just don't do one thing on your call. When you call about the Flyers, let's talk about the Flyers. Don't hit me with, unlike Embiid. Yeah. No. Just let's have fun. Let's enjoy
talk about the sport at hand.
Right. We don't have to take shots at other sports.
Yeah, you don't have to compare.
Talking about it. Right.
Caps, Bruins, Blues. Pretty good.
That's very good.
Yeah, I know. You thought it was going to be tough for them yesterday, Mike.
We all did.
I thought it was going to be tough in St. Louis. All right. 610-632-0975 is how you get in. Mike Missinelli Show. It's 97.5 Fanatic NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It is 2:18. Mike Missinelli Show, Thursday show. Don't forget we have the Trust the Contest 5K Day Cash giveaway coming up at 4:00. We're gonna have Jason Stark talk about this baseball thing that's going on right now. Curious to get Jason's opinion on this. But the 2:00 hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors, visit Ferguson's county location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. So let's start our Twitter poll for today, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. If you're wondering what to get the family in this new year, how about giving them their weekends back? Get the Husqvarna Automower from Paul B. Moyer and Sons. You can check out the Automower in person at the showroom in Doylestown or online at paulbmoyer.com. What is today's Twitter poll, Nat?
Thanks, Mike. We have over 200 votes on this one early. In their current state, who do you think will go further in the playoffs? 38% say the Flyers, 62% say the Sixers.
Interesting. Okay. People still believe in the Sixers.
Yeah.
Going through the playoffs.
Yeah.
All right. They won't stay in the sixth seed.
No, I honestly don't think that happens.
Yeah. And the sixth seed really is not the sixth seed. Everybody's bunched.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're sixth.
If they could just win 3 or 4 road games in a row, and they're playing like the Knicks and some other weaker teams, they could jump from 6 to 3 in a week.
Yes.
So you know.
All right. One other matter before we get to the phones here. It's the snitch matter. First of all, it's been a very interesting last 48 hours for Odell Beckham Jr.
Yes.
The latest thing that happened to Odell Beckham Jr. was that he was, they've issued an arrest warrant for him in New Orleans. I don't know what to make of this story. Video surfaced showing Beckham slapping the buttocks of a Superdome security guard in the LSU locker room after LSU won the national championship. Obviously, in an excited act. So the security guard filed the complaint, and it's a simple battery without the consent of the victim. Now, is that ridiculous?
I tweeted it out, the video. Ty Johnson News, if people really want to see it. He did smack the butt of a security guard. At first, I thought it was a cop.
Yeah.
Even if it was a cop, in my opinion, it's stupid, and he's being, but to me, that was not a crime.
So the security guard should never have filed the complaint.
I don't even think he should have been in there. Because what happened was he was like going overzealous with a player. Mm-hmm. It looked like asking a player had just won the national championship. They're celebrating or whatever. The guy's sitting down. Mm-hmm. And he smacked him on the butt. And it was dumb. Like, I'm not saying Odell Beckham Jr. is a Mensa member. To me, it's not a crime. It's silly. It was just something dumb that somebody does in the locker room when they're riled up. The guy was also passing out cash. He was on one that night. Smack a guy on the butt.
Yeah.
To me, not a crime.
So, all right, so you in that crime?
I mean,
smack in the butt.
I don't think you should.
He was an excited.
But it's a,
in a locker room.
I get that he's in a locker room, but smack one of your friend's butts. Don't smack a stranger's butt. That's just how I feel. I don't think you should touch anybody who doesn't want to be touched.
I get it.
Not that it's a crime. It's definitely silly.
Have put it in the context of, all right, here's a guy who's like a little crazy anyway, and he's excited. LSU won the national championship.
Yeah, no. I mean, I get it, but...
Should you have a little more discretion there as a security guard?
I still think what Beckham did was dumb. I didn't say it was dumb.
No, it's totally
dumb.
But
to me, in my opinion, it doesn't rise to a crime. In my opinion.
Maybe he thought that the security guard would be jovial about it, but hence that not being the case. So I'm not surprised... You know,
Same thing. Yep. Yeah. Same kind of situation. Almost exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll end up being a ticket.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. But handing out the money, the question is, we kind of saw it on the sideline. We saw a video of it. And they at first said it was fake money. It was real money.
And Joe Burrow
snitched him out.
But that's because Joe Burrow's done.
It doesn't matter. He snitched him. Now, by your definition of snitch, was Joe Burrow a snitch?
100%. Because he knows that he's got sophomores and guys that aren't going pro that can get in trouble for that. So you keep the line in that it's fake money.
He didn't probably realize that there was going to get in trouble. He was like trying to tell an entertaining story.
Yeah.
And he got caught. His tongue got twisted. And that came out. And it turns out now that could impact the program.
And you know... The coach just got $1 million bonus for that. The opposing coach gets all this money. And forget paying the players or the team playing. If somebody just wants to pass out cash, so what? So what? Like, I just don't see how that... They won a national title. This guy's
already... passed out cash on the sideline. It's an extra benefit.
So what?
It's against the NCAA tenet of extra benefits.
So everyone else can get this extra cash. Everyone else. But the players? Everyone else.
You can't do it on the sideline, right there.
I don't bother
you want to do it in the locker room and throw some money, a couple extra... It's still illegal, but at least you don't look like you're doing it blatantly.
Dumb by Odell again. But when I'm supposed to sanction this player, sorry, you're suspended now. Somebody walk in the studio right now, give me $100. I don't care who it is, I'm taking it.
Well, of course, because not an NCAA rule against it.
I'm saying if it was a Beasley rule and you're going to hand me money, I'm not going to turn the money
away. There is a Beasley rule. There's a Beasley rule about payola.
Well, I don't do payola. I don't do any payola.
Well, it's kind of the same thing.
But no, it's not. Because they're not paid. They're played free.
All right.
It was dumb by Odell to do it in public.
If the NCAA reacts and punishes LSU for this, it's ridiculous. But come on, man. You can't be passing that money on the side. What the hell's wrong with you?
Doesn't bother me. I look for a reaction. I was looking there going, well, good for them. You just made all the... You just generated all this extra money for LSU. Go get yours a couple hundred.
Not on the sidelines. Come on, man. Mail it to him.
He did something on the field.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You can't blatantly do it. All right, let's go, Bob in Tennessee to start things off. What's up, Bob?
Hi, Mike.
Hello, Bob.
I tell you what. First of all, I'm so proud that you're not mentioning who, you know, who, because you know what? You were just making yourself miserable by beating a dead horse.
I'm exhausted by him. He exhausts me, man. I can't deal with it anymore.
And I'll make one more comment.
Mm-hmm.
Tyron is wrong. The whole Odell Beckham thing was nothing but about Odell Beckham. It had nothing to do with LSU, about him giving out money. It was about him. He wanted to steal the show, and he did in that way.
Yeah, he didn't take any inventory on how it would impact the team. It was all about him, which normally it is. But you can't do that on the sideline, man. Come on. First of all, there were like 27 LSU ex-players on that sideline that night, including Booger McFarlane. You see Booger McFarlane on the sideline? Go ahead.
Can I give you an update on my progress?
Yes, Bob. How you feeling?
Yesterday, I got a CT scan, and everything is stable, and everything's unchanged. If the doctors are elated. The size of the tumor is less than a quarter anyway, and it's just everything is working out so far so good.
That's awesome, Bob.
I'm very happy to report that.
That is awesome news, buddy.
Thank you so much. And I just have one question, please. Mm-hmm. Whatever happened to Bernie from Broomall? He was so interesting.
A lot of people are asking about Bernie. We need to hear from him. We heard from him several weeks ago, and he seemed very chipper. So hopefully he's still the same. But, yeah, we're looking forward to hearing from Bernie.
Okay, because I listen every day, mm-hmm. and I hadn't heard him.
Yes, so a lot of people are asking about Bernie.
God love you all, and I sure appreciate all.
All right, Bobby. You hang in there, buddy. That's good news. Thank you very much. Good for Bob, fighting it. Greg in Bethlehem. Greg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg.
They're glad to hear he's making progress. I think smacking that guy on the ass, the cop is just, or the security guard's just out of control. I mean, Beckham is out of control too, but you got to look at the situation and let it go. That's ridiculous.
Well, you can say, yo, Holmes, have a little more respect. Don't be doing that to me. You don't have to file a charge. You know?
Right. Well, he probably wants a little cash on the side somehow. But, I'm amazed. I don't know that I can remember the Flyers with three character wins like this, the Caps, the Bruins, and the Blues, in a long time.
Yeah, it has been a while.
You know, I mean, they just seem to find a way.
Mm-hmm.
The other night against Boston, I was kind of flipping.
You see, that's sometimes when you get all really excited and you curse, we can't roll with the rest of your point. So,
I agree with him, though. When they got behind in that game, mm-hmm. it did look bad. I didn't use any profanity, though. And then the Flyers came back. That's what he meant.
Yeah.
And last night, the Blues come back to tie it. They could have fallen apart, and then they come back right there and win in overtime. Character wins
by the Flyers. It is a character win. No question about it. And, those three wins are pretty significant. Putting them together like that. You know, there's that 1-0 loss of the Lightning in there, but three monster wins after the four-game losing streak. John in Northeast Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Hey, what's up, Mike? How you doing?
What's up, buddy?
Before I get to my Flyers point, I agree 1,000% with Tyrone about the money thing. It's no big deal. I don't care what Dan said. He's not a coach or anything like that. He's just handing out money. I disagree with Tyrone.
He's a part of the program. He's like a booster. It's a blatant NCAA violation.
Well, I didn't see nothing wrong with it. This is my opinion. But my Flyers point.
Mm-hmm.
How great has it been? I got to be honest with y'all. I thought we lost them four games out west. I thought we were going to keep, because, we're going through a juggernaut schedule right here, playing these four teams. I thought we could blatantly lose the next four. I thought that. But they're showing that Alain Vigneault, losing out there has helped them coach this team to play like this the way they are playing now against these top teams. So he's taking that losing to teach them, I guess, and now you see his coaching is really comes to play when they come out and play against the Capitals, the Bruins and the Blues. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree with you. Right now in the ESPN Power Rankings, the Flyers are 16th in the Power Rankings.
Right.
That's fairly low for the way they've been playing.
Right, right. Yeah. I just think, do you think that... Do you think they'll be sustainable to get them into the first round of the playoffs? Do you think they can squeeze in at the end?
I think they'll, yeah, I think the expectations now are they should be in the playoffs.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I don't know what's going to happen in the playoffs, but they probably should get in.
Do you think Elliott can sustain without having Hart there for three weeks?
I'm not a big Elliott guy, but he has played fairly well. We'll see if he can carry the load here.
All right, guys. Love you guys.
All right, man. You got it. Yeah, Carhartt out 2-3 weeks. So, Elliott, and they'll have to give who'd they bring up? Alex Lyon?
Yeah.
Throw him in there for a game or two?
Yeah, Elliott's been played well, mm-hmm. played pretty well, though. They should be able to hold it down.
Yeah. All right, so your power rankings in the NHL.
But when did that Flyers come out? No, I'm saying maybe tonight, last night's game wasn't really
as of January 15th. Yeah, okay, last night's game was not included. Okay. So the Blues won, the Caps 2, the Bruins 3. Flyers are taking care of all three of them. Pittsburgh Penguins are 4, Tampa Bay 5, Islanders, Dallas Stars, Avalanche, Hurricanes, Coyotes, Maple Leafs, Canucks, Vegas Golden Knights, Calgary Flames, Edmonton Oilers, Philadelphia Flyers ahead of Florida Panthers right now.
That's all right. You know, that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right. I think they're going to be just fine, though.
Chris in Port Richmond. Chris, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Chris.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
What's up, Chris?
Not much. I like what you guys are saying about the Flyers. Yeah, they've shown a lot of good wins this year over some pretty big teams. I'm really excited to see how they do with that home and away with Pittsburgh coming up soon.
Mm-hmm.
But it really hurts us that Carter Hart's going to be out for those 2-3 weeks. But like you guys said, I think Elliott is suffice enough to kind of hold it down for us the way we've been playing. Plus, we've only got the Canadiens and the Kings. So... not too bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got you. Keep going. Keep rolling, bro.
Oh, my bad. My bad. So I just wanted to talk about the Sixers again.
Uh-huh.
Because at the end of the day, everybody, I was actually listening to Gorgano right before your show, and he was talking about trade Embiid, trade. I hate people who are saying that stuff. We need to keep our core, Ben Simmons and Embiid, Tobias, other things maybe interesting.
Yeah, I stopped looking at these trade possibilities. People,
that's what I mean.
People hammer me on Twitter and email, but I would trade that. They're not going to do it. You know, like, whether you think it's absurd or not, the Sixers aren't going to trade Ben Simmons. It's just not.
It'd be stupid for them to.
Yeah, because you can't possibly get the value that he could be worth.
No, and even with Embiid and his injury problems, you can't even, mm-hmm. you know, questionably get the value that you think he's worth either.
Yeah, now, I don't know how they're going to add the necessary piece or pieces that it would take to convince me they're going to win the East, because I think they need stuff, but I'm not trading Ben Simmons to change the culture of this team.
Oh, definitely not. You just got to do something to add a few key shooters onto this team so that we can actually have people who can be a reliable knockdown jumper. That way we can hit those clutch shots and win the games that we're losing, because we lose games we should win regularly.
Yeah, I don't know how he's going to do it. But, you know, if they pay me to be a general manager, I'd probably investigate more.
Hey, you should look into that.
Yeah. If Elton wants to consult me, I'll come in for a fee.
All right, you guys take care.
All right, brother.
You got it. Anthony on the text board just wanted to be clear.
What?
That he didn't mention trading anybody. It was people calling the show.
Yes.
Who suggested
it,
not him.
Certainly he doesn't want to trade Ben. Anthony.
No.
He's a Ben guy.
And he also says he thinks they're going to add JJ.
Well, I hope they do.
Now that gives you something off the bench. Yeah. Now that's a real shooter.
Yes.
Reliability for that
any
guy.
Any kind of shooter is okay by me.
That guy can still do that.
Yeah.
And you can hide one bad defender.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't hide multiple. So, yeah.
Did you find something really odd happened in that game last night? In fact, I mentioned it to Bilal.
First half?
Joe Harris missed two free throws in a row.
Yeah.
When's the last Caucasian in NBA history, except maybe JJ, I mean, TJ, who could possibly miss two free throws in a row?
Nah, come on, Mike.
It's impossible. It's totally impossible.
It's not
for a Caucasian to miss two free throws in a row, especially a guy like Joe Harris.
Well, Joe Harris is a great shooter.
He is. But how's he missed two in a row?
No. There have been many a Frosty given out
for a Caucasian?
Yeah.
I bet you you could look at the history of Frosty giveouts. There might not be one Caucasian who missed two in a row.
Yes, there is.
Come on, man. Just give me that.
I can't give you
just
that.
Just give me that.
I can't give
as
you
a
that.
Caucasian.
I can't give you that.
I went, yo, Joe.
Joe.
Come on, man.
But he did it in the first half, so they didn't even get the Frosty.
That's right.
Didn't even get the Frosty.
I turned Blau. I go, Blau, was the last time you see that?
Then Whitty missed the first and a couple of times, and everybody's making noise, and he was cold on all the second ones. Made it tough. I don't think there was any Frosties given.
There was not.
No Frosties giveth yesterday.
No.
No, and Jim from Saturday had never had a Frosty in his life.
He never had a Frosty?
No.
He needs to just go buy a Frosty.
That's what
he
I said.
He has a job.
I couldn't believe it. He said, I never had a Frosty. I said, not once, ever?
They're delicious.
That's what I said.
They're delicious.
I said, you have to get a chocolate one.
I'm not a big Frosty guy either, to be honest with you.
If you do have one, chocolate
have
or vanilla.
You have to get the chocolate. That's the original.
The one I've gotten, it's been a chocolate. But I'm not that big on them.
You know.
Really?
Is there any Wendy's close enough to where somebody could deliver one here to us?
Two?
Can we get some Frosties?
I buried a 2-for-5 spicy chicken the other night.
There you go. Put that down.
I'll tell you that. 2-for-5. Let's go to Steve on a cell. Steve, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Steve.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Steve?
All right, good. Hey, so I want to get your opinion on this. My feeling is that as long as, and I know you say you don't want to mention him, so we can call him Baltimore or whatever you want to call Ben.
No, you can mention him. I'm not going to analyze it anymore because I'm out.
So this is more about Brett Brown, though.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So my opinion is that until, not that Ben is an efficient shooter, but until Ben is willing to take a couple shots a game, 15, 18 feet or a three-pointer, I feel they're not going to win anything.
Yeah.
So, but I feel this comes back to the coach, to Brett Brown. He's enabled it. He hasn't kind of punished Ben, reduced his playing time. So here's my question. If Greg Popovich or even Phil Jackson was Ben's coach, you think he would have had him shooting by now?
I don't know, but those coaches don't exist anymore in the league. And Popovich wouldn't even be able to do it now. It's a different player that comes in the league. They'd laugh at Popovich if he tried to do that these days. Yeah, hey, the power of the coach is over to do something like that, to force somebody to shoot. And you can't, you know, the easy solution, well, you bench him. Well, then you hurt your team. So it's like, what do? You cut off your nose and spite your face. You just got to live with it. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, you might say it sounds silly, but I mean, again, with Ben is so effective, you see what he can do in the first half. And then if he's not willing to do it in the second half, because he's afraid having the ball in his hands in the fourth quarter, spend the time to get his free throw percentage.
Listen, man, I agree with everything you say, Steve, but here's two things I know. Number one, the coach can't influence him shooting the ball. Because it hasn't happened, and to think that they haven't tried to do it is ridiculous. And two, until the guy decides he wants to do it himself and get past his mental block, it's never going to happen. Nothing so coach can do about it.
So let me ask you a question, because the Warriors are so poor this year. Would you D'Angelo Russell
no.
the number one pick?
No.
Okay.
Right. I knew you were going right. there. I knew you were going to D'Angelo. I don't want anything to do with D'Angelo Russell for Ben Simmons. It's
all
ridiculous.
Right. All right, well, just mark my word until he starts willing to...
Let me ask you, are you trading Ben Simmons for D'Angelo Russell on a number one pick?
No, I was asking your opinion.
It sounded like you wanted to do it.
Here's what I look at. The bottom line is that, you know, it's going to be... They can do whatever they want during a regular season. Same thing's going to happen in the playoffs. Everybody's going to crowd the middle.
Yeah,
blow them down.
I mean, exactly. That's why I don't think they can win the East unless they make a significant improvement to this team with a shooter. That's why they can't win the East.
Yeah, well, we're in agreement.
Yeah, yes. I mean, really. I'm not, like, whimsical about this whole thing. I'm not going to, like, con myself into thinking that this team in their current form offensively is going to win a 7-game series to win the East. I'm not even sure they even get there at this point. the way they play offense on this team. It's so unpredictable. 610-632-0975. All right, Tyrone, as we go into the break, I'm going to give you a broadcasting salary.
All right.
You got to tell me whether it's, first of all, your guess, and then overpaid or underpaid.
All right.
Adam Schefter.
Oh, Adam Schefter.
Who appears, this is coming from a website. All right, so Adam Schefter.
I'm going to say for Schefter, $2
million. $2 million. He only makes $1
million. Oh.
Underpaid, overpaid?
Underpaid.
Underpaid at $1
million. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, he's underpaid at $1
million. Okay. Nat?
I agree. That he's underpaid.
He's underpaid.
Yeah.
Because he's always digging out the information for him.
Digging it out.
That's tremendously valuable for a network.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the go-to guy. He's underpaid.
I thought he would be at least like 3 or 4.
Wow.
The reason I knew he wouldn't be is because Stephen A. recently got a new deal. And once I find out how much Stephen A. works versus Schefter as far as hours on the, I tried to work out a scale, but yeah.
Stephen A. makes 9 times more.
Yes, that which is why I think Schefter... Yeah. I thought that he would be at least halfway there.
Okay. We have 2 open lines, so this would be a good time to climb in. 610-632-0975. It is the Mike Missinelli Show. It is right here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Snelly Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. We're going to bracket the advertising with another, before the advertising and after the advertising, of another sports media personality salary.
All right.
According to this website. Jay Billis.
Jay Billis. All right. And seniority, I'm going to put him at $1.5
million. $2 million.
$2 million.
Hmm.
I'm going to say salary just right.
Just right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just right.
So he makes $1 million more than Schefter?
I think he's underpaid. Schefter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Billis has been there a long time. And I have to be honest with you, when it comes to college sports, to me, he's one of the top guys. Like when it comes to college ball, I'm looking for Jay Billis. Okay. I am, admittedly. So to me, that's just right.
What do you think, Mike?
I have no opinion. I think it's great that these guys make that kind of money.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely not a hater.
Yeah.
I'm not a hater.
That's slightly overpayment, but...
Why? Because it's college?
That ecosystem, though, I don't know. Like, it's one of these things, like, you know when you're a kid, you don't know how much anything costs? Like, I don't know at that level what people are supposed to make. But when you said the number out loud, it felt comfortable to me. But I don't know.
$2 million.
Yeah, it felt comfortable.
All right. Yeah, no, I think it's just it's a little excessive, but God bless the guy.
Yeah, I know.
He's got a law degree.
Yeah, bright guy. Definitely a bright guy.
Might have pushed the money up a little bit.
Yeah, he knows how to negotiate.
I don't know. Where do we get to the Fox football show? Where do we get there?
I'm sure they all make big buddy.
I want you to you get a calculator out.
Right.
All right. Yeah. Let's go. Leon, I want to sell. Leon, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Leon.
Hey, good afternoon.
What's up, Leon?
Sixers comment.
Mm-hmm.
So, I understand we're not talking about the man, but, you know, we can talk about the man. So, who is the alpha male on the Sixers as far as scoring?
There isn't one.
That's the point I'll be trying to make.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when Jimmy Butler was here, we had an alpha male.
Mm-hmm.
We had a guy that you can go to down the stretch that was aggressive.
Yep.
Watching the Sixers now, it's 2 things I do. I cheer for them to win, but I expect them to lose. going down the stretch, especially without Embiid out there.
Yeah.
And Embiid is not really an alpha man out there.
Well, he is. I mean, let's face it. We're evaluating this team without a significant piece. I mean, exactly. Let's face it. They're going to be a different team when Joel Embiid gets back.
But down the stretch, I expect more emphasis down in the paint to dominate the game, to get them over them scoring hopes they go through.
Yeah, it should be Tobias Harris since he's the most versatile scorer and he can score in a variety of ways more than anybody else on that floor, Cap.
And I definitely believe I don't think they run enough plays for Tobias Harris.
I agree.
To get to the paint to finish.
I agree.
And to score. Mm-hmm. But watching your man run up the court 90 miles per hour to have probably a 6'2", 6'3", point guard trailing him, and he don't dip the shoulder to get to the basket.
Well, he did in the first half, almost every possession.
No, exactly. So
yeah, why didn't he do it in the second half? I don't know. He turns into a distributor in the second half for reasons that are unclear to me. So I've given up trying to analyze it.
Definitely. I definitely give up that analyzing the part.
Yeah, I can't do it anymore. It hurts my head.
It hurts. It definitely hurts watching that game. Definitely. I appreciate it. First-time caller.
All right, man. I appreciate it. You're right. We talked about this in the suite last night. There isn't the alpha, except it's Tobias. And he was the alpha last night. He felt it. He looked for a shot, got it off the bounce, moved to spots where he can make medium-range jumpers, made some threes.
He's a coachable guy. Mm-hmm. That's why, to me, the coach has to manufacture him into being an alpha and do things a little different over the next few weeks. He's got to call more stuff and call his number because he will do what the coach says. To me, this is on Brett to get him with the mindset of, oh, man, look at me. I don't care if he has to look up the board and see, oh, I only got 12 shots up. Mm-hmm. I need 8 more. Yeah. Like, I need him to have that, and it's up to the coach to get him those shots because he'll follow. I don't know if Ben will, but he'll shoot. I think that he's your most skilled guy. You got to make sure if he's not being an alpha, you got to make him an alpha. Mm-hmm. Sorry, this plays for you. Squeeze.
Yep.
I don't want Korkmaz taking something in the corner. I don't want Al up top. This is you. Those are bailout guys. Mm-hmm. If what I call for you doesn't work.
Yep.
But I don't know if he'll do it.
No. Because
that's not really his style. The coach is. It's not really his style.
Yeah.
I would change my style.
It put me in a position now where I just have to, like, I'm trying to watch the game without getting aggravated.
That's tough.
It really is tough because I live every dribble.
Every dribble. You're living and dying with
the
squad.
I'm living and dying with every dribble. And I'm looking at the game and I'm trying, all right, calm down. The Nets, you know, they're hanging in there. The Sixers possibly lose this game? The Sixers won't lose this game. But I'm wishing some things would happen. And Tobias took over in the fourth quarter. So that's one of the things that I'm always wishing would happen.
Yeah, and it happened.
Yeah. Ed in North Philly. Ed, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ed.
Hey, how's it going, man?
What's up, Ed?
I'm calling on the Odell situation that's going on. So I heard Tyrone speak on it and he made it like if it wasn't a big deal, kind of.
Yeah, handing out money?
Well, no, not the money.
The slapping of the butt?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Where I'm from, slapping the cop behind his back or security, it's not good at all.
Yeah.
Plus, he was there for, well, it was a no-smoking zone in the locker room, and they said that he was talking to an LSU player. Sorry, it's my first time calling. But he was talking to an LSU player about smoking a cigar.
Yeah, they smoke cigars, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a big deal. I mean, people smoke a cigar. Michael Jordan smoked a cigar. You have a problem with it when he was hugging the NBA championship trophy, right? Yeah, that's what guys do when they win something. The quarterback was even smoking a cigar.
Yeah, I get it, but it's no smoke. You can't smoke.
Yeah, but come on. You know?
Yeah, but he was there.
I get that. That's a celebration. You just won a national championship. Somebody's going to give you a cigar. You light it up. You know, you don't have regard to no smoking policy at that point.
I get it. He must have took his job serious, but it's not cool.
Though. Your problem was the cigar?
No, my problem, I smoke cigars myself.
Okay. So, well,
the only issue I have is he made it seem like it wasn't a big deal.
Well, a guy like Odell Beckham Jr., I don't think anything's a big deal because it's Odell Beckham Jr.'s world. That's why you slap a security guard. That's why you go hand money on the sidelines. That's why he's going to pull a cigar out.
Ed, I think, was a fed.
It was a fed.
He was a fed. He's the feds. He's in there. Oh, they were smoking cigars. Oh, that thing. Get out of here, Ed.
Yeah, the cigar thing is.
Come on, Ed.
It's irrelevant.
He's a fed.
Yeah, yeah. Technically, it's against building policy, but nobody gonna come down and put your cigar out at that point in a celebration. That's one night we got to let him go. All right, 610-632-0975. Mike Misnelli Show, back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.